Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that wants to know who stole my trash can out of my front yard.
For real?
Seriously, I sat out my trash the other day. I came home from work and it's gone.
Oh man.
Who stole my trash can?
The trash thief.
Also, we're going to talk about nerd and pop culture news.
But more importantly.
But mainly, if you know where my trash can is, please let me know. It was my good one.
It was the good. Oh no,
I have two. I have one that has a hole in it. And at first I'm like, well, maybe the garbage men threw it away. Maybe it was the bad one and it had a hole in it. Maybe they threw it away. No, it was the good one.
Oh man. Okay, how do you throw away a trash can?
I've done this.
Okay.
You have to put a note on it.
Yeah. So what I did is I filled it with stuff.
Okay.
I put the lid on it. I used duct tape and I sealed the lid.
Sure.
And then I taped a note to the top. Throw.
This is trash.
Throw the whole thing away.
Okay. I was making a Jerry Seinfeld-like joke about...
Well, Josh is out here solving problems.
You're solving problems and I'm trying to make a ha-ha joke.
I'm sorry that I bring in logic.
How do you throw away trash cans and what's the deal with airplane food?
This is Nerd Overload, pop and geek culture advice podcast.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Cody.
We have an excellent show for you this week. We have a bunch of things we're going to be talking about some TV shows, some movies, some games, just the whole gamut. But first, let's get into some things we've been checking out.
Check it out!
Okay, so let's talk about some things we've been doing this week. Cody, what have you been doing this week?
I have been mainlining that Fallout show. Okay. I haven't finished it yet. I've got like two or three more episodes left. But man, is it good.
Okay.
It captures the games, the entire franchise perfectly. It fits right in. It's honestly the best game adaptation that I've ever seen.
Really?
I've not seen the zombie one. Last of Us.
Last of Us, yeah.
But I feel like this is probably better because Last of Us is a dour, sad, not fun time.
Sure, and this one is kind of goofy a little bit at times, right?
Yes. Yeah. Fallout always has a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, like sarcastic tone to it.
Oh, sure.
And it comes through in this. It looks like the games, like the production design is like one-to-one.
Really?
Like I've never seen something adapted from a game that looked so much like the game.
The screenshots that I've seen have been really close.
Like, I had to stop thinking, oh, that's just like the game. Oh, that's just like the game, because it all is.
Okay.
Like, almost of all the things I've seen, like, it looked good. I mean, the Brotherhood of Steel armor, you know, looks good. The vault, I mean, how can you mess up a vault suit, honestly?
Yeah. Sure.
all the actors are like...
I've heard everybody's on firing on all cylinders. Walton Goggins, especially the ghoul.
I don't think Walton Goggins cannot do fantastic.
Yeah.
His character on Righteous Gemstones is so good. That's a great show.
He's a
too.
Funny guy. Yeah, yeah, he's a good actor. So I guess for the folks who are unaware of what Fallout, the show and the game series, I guess is, what's the elevator pitch for it?
It is a, like, post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland. Like, it's like what people in the 50s thought the future would be.
Right.
But in a post-apocalypse of that version of the future, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a lot of art deco, but also burnt-out future technology and stuff.
A big slingshot that can throw a mini nuke.
and there's a little bit of like pulp novel in there.
Sure.
And...
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And the vault dwellers are humanity after the nuclear fallout. They all went into like this
various bunkers.
And society changed over 100 years or
I think
some amount of time.
I think the vault in the show, it was like 100 years before anybody ever left.
Yeah.
As far as we know at the beginning.
Right. So yeah, you're following this person that's stepping out into the world for the first time, but you're also following a immortal not zombie, but like irradiated.
Yeah, he's called a ghoul, and he's just—it's just an extremely radiated human. He doesn't have a nose or ears.
Yeah, they're very well because there's also feral ghouls too, which are pretty much just zombies.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, but they're also they are because of the radiation stuff. They are essentially immortal,
right? Because you see Walton Goggins in like the pre-bombed out 50s
in a
flashback, right?
The show opens that way, like with him back in the 50s. Well, it's like the 2000 something 50s.
But it's
what the 50s would have looked like from their perspective.
You had idyllic future 50s and then bombed out future 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cool to get like parts of the world of Fallout that would not make good video game.
Mm-hmm.
But make good TV. Like, there's a whole part where, without spoiling anything, it's a flashback scene where Walton Goggins is arguing with his wife over dinner. And it's like, this would not be in any video game ever.
No.
But it's great in this TV show, and we would have never gotten to see, like, the world from this particular viewpoint.
Sure.
If it was only a video game.
Right.
I mean, there's kind of...
And, of course, if it were a video game... Bethesda would have made the scene extra buggy anyway.
Yeah.
Like all the plates would have levitated off the table because that's the other thing about these games. They're kind of held together with spit and duct tape.
They're not bugs. They're features.
No, they're bugs.
You would have had to have read about it in a diary entry on a computer in a building that 10% of the people that played the game would ever have found.
Right. Right.
Or the opening bit of Fallout 4.
What is with the
robot, the butler robot and stuff?
Yeah, that's the only time in the games where you ever see the past pre-war.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, good. I'm glad the show is good. It's only what, like 8 or 10 episodes?
It's 8 episodes.
It's 8. Okay,
I've seen a few things. Like I've seen some people argue that it should have been a weekly release.
It should.
It would have like kept
instead
it
of being dropped all the way.
It absolutely. Yeah. It would have kept people talking about it, other than the parts of canon that don't match up.
But who cares?
I know, that doesn't matter.
All the games contradict themselves a little bit anyway, so it doesn't really
matter.
Pretty
much.
But if it was a weekly release, people would focus on the neat things that happened that week instead of being all...
The whole blanket of the show.
Butthurt about stuff, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hear it's getting a second season.
Yes,
right?
It's already been renewed for a second season, which is good because I hear it ends on a total cliffhanger.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I've been seeing some memes. They had the one, Simpsons one. But the dad smacks the kid up the side of the head, and it had a Master Chief's helmet on the kid, and it's like, that's how you do a video game adaptation.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, because I guess the
Halo
comparison
one
would be the Halo show, and it's not good.
It looks good. Like, he looks like Master Chief, as long as you don't take the helmet off.
But then they take the helmet off.
Yeah, first episode.
Constantly.
Yeah.
It wouldn't... if you just look at Halo, you can be like, well, that wouldn't make a good TV show. Because it wouldn't. It's just walking around hallways and shooting aliens. There's not enough depth there, I don't think.
Yeah. No, not really. Probably the most depth we ever got was in Halo Reach, which is all prequel stuff anyway.
But then you had something like Fallout that's like... bursting at the gills with lore and backstory and characters and different all kinds of different
and
things
just,
you
know,
do
flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what's also great about the show is that it's not trying to do any like recap any stories that we already know. It's its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It exists within the universe without trying to retell the universe.
And the story follows a lot of the same themes as some of the game stories before.
Well,
like,
yeah.
The main character is looking for her kidnapped dad, Agent Dale Cooper.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He's in it, isn't he?
Yeah.
Kyle MacLachlan.
And that's kind of like the story to 3. Also, there ends up being some sort of water chip problems with the vault that she came from, which is... straight out of Fallout 1 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it plays with familiar ideas, but in ways that are different and interesting.
Yeah.
If you're a huge Fallout fanboy like I apparently am.
But you can also go into it without knowing anything about Fallout.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. I haven't had anybody who doesn't know about Fallout around me watch it yet, so
that's
I don't
fair.
Know.
That's yeah, fair enough.
Even Samantha has watched me play a lot of Fallout and knows enough about the universe where it's like, yeah, this is right.
This is it, yeah, yeah. Josh, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been plugging away, trying to get all the unlock all the Avatar, the Last Airbender theme stuff in Fortnite.
Of course.
I'm not going to talk too much about that because, you know, I talk about Fortnite enough as it is. I don't know why I like playing this dumb game so much.
But you don't need to justify enjoying a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there. It's easy to drop into. I get it.
Drop in. But no, I get it.
It's familiar. And the gameplay's solid. Like, the shooting feels right. Like, I get it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, the bending powers feel good. The skins actually look decent and not some kind of nightmare.
Bending makes you feel good?
Yep.
They've had issues with their anime-inspired skins in the past. There's some real, like, Christopher Hart's How to Draw Manga guys in there before.
Yeah.
Especially their, like, original characters.
Yeah, the first... Yeah, their anime-based original IP, whatever characters, they all look bad. I hate them. There's always one in every battle pass. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The Avatar stuff's cool. There's enough goofy flavor there that it's funny. Like, there are quests to destroy cabbage carts.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That makes sense. People
keep wanting the cabbage man to pop up as a character, and I'm like, I don't want that.
He should be a playable character.
That's what people want.
And he throws cabbages. He has a cabbage gun or whatever.
I'm surprised they haven't done some Spy Family skins. They always
I'm sure it's coming.
Like, whatever the hottest anime of the time is, it ends up as a skin.
Well, that movie's coming out here soon.
It's out now?
And okay, interesting.
I'm hearing about only half of it is good.
Yeah. I just read a Polygon headline that's like, it's not very good. So.
Oh.
Wah, wah,
well,
wah.
There you go.
I keep hearing rumors that the next anime collaboration with Fortnite is going to be One Piece. That's the rumors, anyway.
Hey, yeah. I'm down for that.
Sure.
I mean, all kinds of cool devil fruit powers you put in.
I mean, the My Hero stuff was decent. The Dragon Ball stuff was fun. I mean,
able to do the Detroit Smash was pretty rad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was difficult to dodge, too, because you can't really see it. It's just a bunch of hard air coming at you. But stuff I've actually been checking out. So Nicole decided she wanted to go back and watch The Proud Family, the Disney animated series.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This was one that was after
my time.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. See, that's the thing.
I missed this one.
I didn't really watch it either. But I sat and watched a lot of it with her, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I could see the appeal. This is fun. I could see early 2000s kids liking this.
Yeah.
Especially if you come from like a family of color and stuff like that.
Sure.
But then the reason she started watching it through is because Disney Plus has a new series called Louder and Prouder with updated animation.
Okay, so like a continuation of the series.
Some characters age up, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just about everybody aged up, really, other than the adults.
Because the granny would be like dead.
Oh yeah, sugar mama. Yeah, and her little Cesar Amaro inspired kind of boyfriend.
Mm.
He only speaks in Spanish.
Oh, nice.
But he always laughs like the Joker and wears purple suits and has green hair.
Oh, Cesar Romano. Yes.
Yes.
I thought the dog whisperer, Cesar Milan.
No.
Which would have been an apt.
That would also would have worked
for the time.
But, yeah.
66 Joker. 66 yes. Joker. But no, the new series Louder and Prouder is actually really decent, and they talk about a lot of really kind of deep stuff,
current issues.
That's the thing. The one thing I knew about that show is that I thought they covered a lot of the deep issues in the original as well.
Well, kinda, but the new one gets really into it. There's a whole episode about debate team stuff, and they do like this. Like this almost like slam poetry debate about reparations.
Oh, huh. Interesting.
Oh, it was.
So the show kind of aged up a little bit.
Oh,
with audience.
Oh, yeah. There's two new characters they added because one of the characters from the original series, their voice actor is kind of problematic. So they're like, you know, we got to go.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, he had to go to Japan with his dad for work.
Mm.
You know? And you don't even see, you see him like wave goodbye and like no talking or anything.
and teenage Gandhi wasn't unfrozen in the
yeah.
In the Clone High reboot.
I still haven't watched Clone High.
It's good.
It's good.
I know you guys keep saying
the original's good. I haven't watched the new ones yet.
The new ones are good too.
Yeah.
People gave it the first season kind of an unfair thrashing, I thought. I thought it was fine. I think they were expecting too much out of it.
Sure.
I wonder when they bring back Phineas and Ferb if it's still going to be good.
I never really watched Phineas and Ferb. I get like...
It's got to have the Bowling for Soup intro, though.
Oh, it will.
Yeah.
It was like... It was past my time, but I still watched it. I forget how I got turned on to it, but I'm like, this is legitimately very funny.
Was it the Dr. Doofenshmirtz stuff? Because he's probably my favorite character.
Yeah, he's honestly one of my favorite animated characters I think of all time.
Like he's a bad guy, but he's not like a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like he's a really good dad and stuff. He's just a stupid supervillain. A platypus. Puts on hat. Perry the Platypus.
It's something like a lot of people watch for nostalgia, but I watched it without any of that and was like, this is good. This is a good cartoon.
Oh, good. Good.
I remember I did really want to watch the Star Wars like crossover they had with Phineas and Ferb. One of them was Darth Maul, the tall one. I don't remember which one that one is.
Ferb.
Okay.
Yes, the one that doesn't speak much.
Yes.
But has a British accent for some reason when he does.
Because his dad's British.
Oh, is that what it was? Mm-hmm. Okay. See,
Okay.
But
anyway.
They're stepbrothers.
Oh, they are. Oh, see, I didn't even know.
There's so much room for
activities. Yeah, they're stepbrothers.
Didn't even.
You can call me Dragon.
Anyway, The Proud Family.
Yes, Louder and Proud. I highly recommend it. I really do. Especially if you have like teenage kids who are maybe want to get a little more, I don't know, maybe involved in
social
things and social politics, things like that. Because it talks about some really heavy stuff and I really, really enjoy it.
Oh, cool.
It's nice to see a little higher budget on the show, especially after watching the original show and the movie where it was really kind of
lower quality,
flat.
Yeah.
No shadows, no depth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, X-Men 97 continues to be extremely good.
I saw a spoiler from X-Men 97 and I'm mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's all they've been talking about. And it's been
I got spoiled.
A big deal happens.
Yes.
And so far, an episode later, it still
happens.
Permanent.
Yeah. There's actually some comic related stuff that the series might go into to reverse that.
I mean, I'm sure they will because he...
I mean, Mr. Sinister also exists.
Yeah.
Mr. Sinister exists and also... do you guys want to know?
I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so spoilers for X-Men 97, 3-2-1, Gambit dies.
A fan favorite.
And a mainstay from the show's beginning,
he's in the very first episode.
In the comics, Gambit was a Horseman of Apocalypse for a while. He was the replacement for one of Archangel's replacements when Gambit was killed off and then brought back as Death.
I remember that in the comics.
So if I could see them now, there's nothing saying that this is what they're going to do. But if they're sticking with fairly accurate or translations of comic stories,
and they have been, I feel like
then they're,
oh yeah, the Trial of Magneto is pulled straight from the comic.
Oh sure, yeah,
outfit and everything.
But there's a pretty good chance, if Apocalypse hasn't shown up yet,
which he did in the original,
and they're hitting all the high points.
They've made reference to him, I believe.
So I bet he will come back. Gambit will come back as Death of the Horsemen of Apocalypse.
They took him out of the opening sequence.
That much.
Yeah. Well,
they've been doing some crazy stuff with the opening sequence because the whole thing with the Jean clone, Madeline Pryor.
Goblin Queen.
Yeah,
Goblin
her
Queen.
Hair changes.
Her hair changes. Yeah. Yep. Jean has hair. Jean. Her hair pulled up and...
And Madeline doesn't.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of memes with that too. It's like, how can... it has like Magneto like drinking coffee and then like the doing like the whole spilling the tea, not my business meme kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a Cyclops kissed and had a baby with a genetic clone of his wife who he didn't know who she was. And yet Jean kissed a whole strange other guy, but she's the one that's mad. That's none of my business.
That's none of my business. Yeah.
They replaced him with Nightcrawler, which is cool.
Oh, fantastic.
Because I love Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler's the best.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler's the
best. It was always fun when Nightcrawler showed up on the show.
And oh, yeah.
Fun with Nightcrawler showed up, and it was really fun. I liked it when Colossus showed up the handful of times he was on the original series. Yeah.
I do wonder if they're going to do some of the other crossover stuff like the original series did, like with like Spider-Man and stuff.
I don't know if they have the rights to them yet, weird because they're Marvel and they have the rights to everything.
I did hear a rumor that there's talk, if with the success of X-Men 97, that we might get a Spider-Man 97.
The creator wants to do it, but nothing has been put in stone yet.
Oh, they're going to milk this whole concept. We're going to be sick of it.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Which is a shame because this X-Men show is great.
Yeah. As long as they don't pull in like, you know, the really bad Iron Man cartoon with that really awful opening.
Oh, that show was great.
Oh, I hate that show.
Dude, you're crazy. You're crazy. That had a Scarlet Witch and Wonder Man and Swordsman because they couldn't use Hawkeye, I think. Yeah. That show was great. Why it was like, it's basically West Coast Avengers the show, but it was Iron Man.
Why couldn't they use Hawkeye?
Maybe it was a rights with the name kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe you couldn't have a character named Hawkeye as long as someone held the rights to MASH.
Maybe.
Because of Hawkeye Pierce. Which is weird, but that's kind of the way these things work.
Yeah.
I keep waiting for like them to mention Captain Marvel because Rogue has her powers.
Yeah.
I know Omega Red showed up in the animated series.
Oh, nice.
Wait, in 97 or the original?
The original.
Well, I knew that.
Omega Red's great.
I love Omega Red.
Yeah.
Angry Russian supervillain with weird metal tentacles. Adamantium tentacles.
Yep.
I feel like there was an episode that had Captain America in it, too.
There is a...
Fifth season. One of the bad ones.
There's an episode where there's a flashback to World War II.
Yeah, you don't see modern day Cap in the show.
Yeah.
You just see...
It's Wolverine running around with Cap during World War II.
Mm-hmm. Pre-claws Wolverine,
and he had these stupid gloves
that he makes, and he makes reference to like, hey, these things are kind of neat. I wouldn't mind keeping these.
It was before,
Weapon X.
Well, it was before the Origins comic where they explained that he had bone claws before he had the metal ones.
Right.
This was back when the claws were just part of the Weapon X process and not his actual powers.
He was just a mutant, healing factor.
Yeah. Yeah. Origins kind of retconned his origin a little bit and gave him like bone claws.
I kind of like that better.
I do too.
Just the healing. Just one power is fine.
Yeah.
Oh man. Speaking of healing factor stuff, I saw a preview of a new Funko Pop that's coming out. It's Wolverine getting the adamantium sucked out of his body.
Oh, ripped out of his.
Yeah. By Magneto.
By Magneto, yeah. Ooh, that was a rough panel.
Oh, it really is. Also, the consequences of that, because his body was no longer getting the adamantium poison, his healing factor from fighting it for so long went into overdrive.
Yes.
And he became a giant hulking beast.
He got
beast.
Huge.
Did he become Akira?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Like, he had, like the bones, like, growing out of his body. He almost looked like Doomsday.
Well, yeah, he looked more or kind of like Marrow, the X-Men character.
Oh yeah, Marrow
from Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yes,
he was also a front and center character from X-Men.
Marrow, you're thinking of Spike?
Oh, I am thinking of Spike.
The character that was created for X-Men Evolution.
Yeah,
Marrow was a Morlock, and she.
Oh, that's
had the,
right.
She had like the bone eyebrows.
Yes,
and, like,
yes.
Stuff.
Okay, yes, I remember that. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, I was thinking of Spike.
And now I've got the "Gonna Take You for a Ride" stuck in my head.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
fixed it for you.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna get into some news.
Long Play is a radio show.
Long Play is a lifestyle.
It is a radio show.
It's a lifestyle.
Hey, 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 calm down, you two. Long Play is both a radio show and a lifestyle. If part of your very existence includes playing old vinyl records,
it is.
Then Long Play is the radio show for you. I invite you to tune in Friday nights at 11 and Saturday afternoons at 3 to see what it's like to have the best of both worlds.
Hey, everybody, we're back from the break. You missed a good discussion we had about if there was the bizarro version of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, evil Indy?
Yeah. Love snakes, that guy.
Love snakes.
Put more snakes on me. I love them.
California James.
California James.
We named the cat California.
California James and the taker of the lost ark.
You know what? Yeah.
All right, yeah, let's get into some news.
California James and the search for Jesus' special cup. He hangs out with his mom.
And California James and I hate aliens. In the search for Crystal Head Vodka.
With a cameo from Dan Aykroyd.
Mm-hmm. He gets to play the alien.
That man is an alien.
Yeah, yeah. all right, so let's get into some of the stuff. Let's start with the Nintendo Indie World Direct that they had.
Yep, it's a
indie
direct,
partner,
but only for indie games, or what Nintendo considers
indie games.
Which is basically anything third party.
Pretty much. That's all they get third party is because the Switch is really underpowered.
So yeah, let's talk about some of the things. I watched it and nothing, I'll be honest, nothing really stuck out to me too much.
I mean,
there were a couple of cool things, but like
there was nothing mind blowing, but there was some fun looking stuff.
I know everybody was hoping that they would announce Silk Song, the Hollow Knight Silk Song.
That's never coming out.
It's never going to happen. Not in a million billion
years.
It's
not even a real game.
No.
Not anymore, no.
No.
They opened with Little Kitty Big City, which I think we've seen.
I think
like
seen
it was on
times.
Steam. Yeah, it's Untitled Goose Game where you're a cat.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah.
My favorite was the Yars Revenge, like reimagining.
Oh yeah.
It's way forward doing it. The Shantae people and a million other great things.
Mm-hmm.
They're reimagining Yars Revenge as like a magical girl Metroidvania.
And it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
It's a good use of an ancient video game property that nobody gives a hoot about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I love WayForward. They do good work.
They do solid work.
WayForward was the one that did the one where the kids that are Halloween costumes.
No, that's Double Fine.
That's Double Fine. My brain also conflates those
Costume
two.
Quest.
Costume
yeah.
Quest is that.
WayForward did Shantae and that beat 'em up with kaijus and.
Oh yes.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean beat 'em up with kaijus?
Dawn of Monsters, I think, is what it's called.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Because I was playing Giga Bash there for a while,
and River City Girls.
Right,
that's the other big
go.
One. That one's very. That's
one's
a good game.
Also very good. Yeah.
Who did the Scott Pilgrim one?
Oh, Tribute. Before they were Tribute.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They were working for Ubisoft, but there was one that game that I've seen for PC that I'm surprised got a showing on a Nintendo Direct. That Anton Blast, because it is Wario Land 4, but different.
Well, I was going to say it's Pizza Tower.
Yeah, that too. Which
it's just Pizza Tower. Like, even the art style is Pizza Tower.
But I feel like this is even more derivative of Wario Land 4, though.
I think it's
like,
closer to both, yeah. Because Pizza Tower has the one where you get to the end of the level and then have to run to the beginning. And same with this one.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, you're right.
Pizza Tower feels like it's way more of its own thing. It has its own look, and like, I love Pizza Tower so much. It's one of my favorite indie games that's come out in a while.
I wish we would just get a Wario Land game. It's been long enough.
Oh, yeah, it's been forever.
He shouldn't just, not knocking WarioWare.
Because WarioWare is good, too.
Because it's good, too, but it's a different thing.
All that is just goofy mini games.
Let him wear the overalls again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the hard hat.
Yeah, they could do the pith helmet too.
Yeah.
Other than that, there was a Ninja Turtles game.
Splintered Fate, which was originally a Apple Arcade title, which I played for a while, and it's actually decent. Though I think I definitely feel like it would play better with a controller versus, you know, phone
everything plays better with a controller as opposed to a phone. We learned that here the last couple of days with the you know what, we didn't put that on the news is the emulators are allowed on Apple.
Yeah, we can talk about that now because I think we pretty much covered this. As I'm scrolling down, there's not a whole lot.
There wasn't a whole lot. I mean, it's cool that that Nintendo takes the time to do a special presentation for indie games and indie developers, but also
well, with the inception of the Switch, they came out of the gate saying, hey, we really want to support indie developers.
Well, like you said, Cody, because it's underpowered and it's easier to do lesser games.
At the time it was great.
Third parties are less interested, but indie devs love getting their games on a Nintendo console, so
It expands their audience outside of the Steam library.
Right.
Yeah.
Or getting buried by the 100 games that come out a day.
Oh, I thought you were going to say EA games that they
jump
on there.
When they dumped all the original Command & Conquer games on one day.
Yeah, and every indie game that came out that day got buried
in the new listing.
Yeah. And you can't even like buy those games separately either. You got to buy like the whole Command & Conquer pack, which like why are they listed?
Also,
because they know that people would only buy one or two of them instead of all of them because some of them suck.
I just wanted to buy Renegade, the first person shooter one, because I had that when I was a kid and I wanted to play it. But I was like,
here's the thing though, with releasing the original versions of all the Command & Conquers, you can just get the Command & Conquer remastered and they look and play better.
Fair.
And that's been out for years.
Yeah. All right. So hey, let's talk about the Apple Store thing.
Yes, the Apple Store thing.
So there was actually it's because of a court case. There was a court case in the EU about allowing one of which was alternate stores to the Apple Store.
Yes.
Because they were saying that it was a monopoly.
It's too proprietary.
Too proprietary. And also whether or not video game emulators, which has always been legal.
Asterisk.
No, it's legal.
It's legal to have an emulator, but you have to technically own the game that
you're emulating.
The ROM that you're playing.
Even like maybe dump it yourself.
Dump it yourself, yeah. But there's always been the argument, hey, emulators are illegal. Are legal? Why can't we put this on the App Store? And Apple's always been like, no, because that's pirating games or whatever.
Yeah,
because
they've struck down just about everybody, like Dolphin and all that stuff.
But there's now a legal precedent. So yes, for the first time, and I know people who have Android phones have been able to play
stuff for a long time
on their weird phone with their Disney font they put on there for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that font so much.
I don't know how every person I've ever seen with an Android has just like some god awful font set to it. I was like, why do you want to look
at like that script looking?
Yeah.
It's either like that or like papyrus or something. It's
something
like why do you want to look at that all day?
Because it's fancy and different. But no, now there are video game emulators on Apple devices, which is really cool because I've been playing perfectly legal versions of Pokemon Crystal.
Yes, I actually do own a hard copy of Pokemon Crystal, so I am fully allowed to do this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so do I. But it's playing anything.
It's very convenient.
It's very convenient. It makes me... Nintendo would make so much money, and Pokemon Group and Game Freak, they would make so much money if they just put ports of the games onto mobile devices on their own, because they play really, really well, and it's really nice to be able to just pick up and play a little bit.
Pokemon is a simple enough game that phone controls aren't going to ruin it.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the other thing, because I've been trying some other things, and it is a mixed bag. It is 100% a mixed bag. You can technically play Nintendo 64 games on your phone because the Apple phones are high powered enough to run them without any issues, except digital controllers for it suck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
I remember you complaining in the group chat about you trying to play a DK64.
Well, Donkey Kong 64 plays like trash anyway. I picked that one because it's funny. but it still is difficult to control.
Here we go.
But I even downloaded Donkey Kong 97, the Game Boy. 94, thank you. The Game Boy game.
I can't see that.
And
was that Donkey Kong Land?
We've had this conversation.
This is the one where it's a continuation of the original Donkey Kong game.
Oh.
Where you play the first four levels of the original arcade, and then it continues on where you're finding a key within a level. It's like a puzzle game almost.
Oh, okay.
It's like Mario versus Donkey Kong is, okay. But it's better than
yes.
that.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can play that game to a certain point, but without having a tactile controls, it is incredible. It gets nigh unplayable at a point.
Even with Pokemon, there's times where I'm like pushing right and I'm going up.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. I couldn't imagine playing anything that wasn't a like RPG that is not action based.
Right. Yeah. Anything with specific timing, I don't know if you would be able to do without an actual controller, because even with the haptics on the phone and having a little bit of a buzz or a little bit of a whatever when you press something, it's not the same and it's just not as good. And your finger slides around. It's your phone screen is slippy. There's so many times that you put in one command and it hits another one by accident.
Yeah.
Which can be a real bummer when you've got random battles going on.
Yes.
And you, yeah. But it's mostly pretty playable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would just stick to JRPGs.
Yeah. Or shell out for one of those Bluetooth, dock your phone into a controller, turn your phone into a mini Switch kind of situation.
Yeah, which at that point, like, get a Steam Deck.
Well, sure. Yeah.
I wish I had a Steam Deck, but
oh yeah, well,
I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
But I would love to review one for the show if one were to be sent to me.
That would be great, Valve. We know you're listening. Yeah. Let's talk about some other stuff. You want to talk about Space Ghost?
Yeah, let's talk about Space Ghost.
I love Space Ghost.
Me too. I've been watching a lot of it because they're streaming it on YouTube. Adult Swim is.
Because it is its 30th anniversary.
My bones.
First off, yes, we are all going to crumble to dust because...
because Space Ghost Coast to Coast is 30 years old.
Yeah.
I remember watching it on TV when it was new.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Staying up late every Friday night, Saturday night, something like that. I think it was Friday night.
I remember seeing the ads for the Backyard Barbecue album or whatever.
Yes.
And like... having to call the
Surf and Turf? Musical Surf and Turf?
Yes, to call the number to order the CD.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Nope. A lot of Friday nights, I would stay up late to watch Space Ghost Coast to Coast and a lot of the proto Adult Swim stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Adult Swim itself wouldn't exist without
Space Ghost.
And, you know, Toonami After Dark.
and current Cartoon Network Adult Swim... has been promoting that it's been its 30th anniversary and how great Space Ghost was. However, the treatment of the people that created the show was
not good.
Terrible. Just about everybody outside of Mike Lazo, who was the executive producer and one of the main higher ups at Cartoon Network, they're not doing too hot because they were treated very poorly. They were all kind of let go unceremoniously at one point or another. The voice of Zorak and Moltar, C. Martin Croker, he was also the main animator. Anytime there was a new animation that was
any
original drawing was him. He died basically penniless and without health. And he could have not died if he had health insurance, but
he kind of got Bill Fingered.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Yeah, Bill Finger, the guy who created Batman.
sounds really bad.
I know. The co-creator of Batman with Bob Kane, Bill Finger.
Who for years and years was locked out of any kind of residuals for it.
Basically, he died poor.
Yeah. Andy Merrill, the one of the main creators of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, voice of Brack, is an Amazon driver.
Yeah.
Here
in the great state of Ohio.
Yeah.
He was posting TikToks with his Brack puppet by the giant Longenberger basket the other day.
Yeah, yeah. But, and George Lowe, the voice of Space Ghost, I mean, he came back for that Jellystone episode,
yeah.
But he's not doing too hot.
He seems like he was an old time radio guy
to begin with.
But I don't know. His voice is so iconic, though. Like,
point being, these guys were not well treated.
No, and they were the backbone.
And continue to not be.
And they were the backbone of something that was great.
Yes.
None of them should. They shouldn't be in this position. None of them should have to work again after creating such a seminal piece of culture.
Comedy. Right. So
they changed the way TV was. They shouldn't be in this position.
Exactly.
And they shaped our, at least for us anyway, our collective senses of humor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be the person I am today without Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
Nobody cares, Moby. Nobody cares.
I don't need big brains to have a good time, or large brains to have a good time.
That thing you said was terrible. You go to prison. Guess who write today's show?
Yeah.
Me. I write it. The Fire Ant episode.
They put
the full 11-minute.
When they
were doing the marathon.
When I saw it on there, it was the shortened, the coward's version of Fire Ant.
They did the full 11 minutes where it's just Space Ghost
following an ant,
following a fire ant back to its home so that he can destroy the nest. That was the Conan O'Brien episode.
Yeah. And Conan is very funny on it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
God. Your show in the 60s, Space Ghost, that didn't really go anywhere. And then Space Ghost just goes, bought me a Camaro. And then after the 11 minutes, then he just yells at the giant fire ant and goes, your son's a moron.
Oh, so good.
Oh, man. Speaking of Conan, though, anybody should look up his hot ones.
The hot ones was fantastic.
That episode.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just like, oh, yeah, Conan is hilarious.
He's great.
Yeah.
His show came out, and I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I will.
Oh,
Conan O'Brien must go.
Yeah. He is so unhinged.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
The man will do anything if he thinks it'll be funny.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's the epitome of throw things against the wall to see what sticks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, a couple quick hits, because we're kind of running out of time a little bit here. What's this about a Golden Axe cartoon?
So the creators of Star Trek Lower Decks, the animated comedy series set within the Star Trek universe, which is also very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And full of all kinds of references for Star Trek fans.
Yeah, and any of your qualms about it being too, like, Rick and Morty or whatever, forget about that. It's not what it is.
Yeah.
That's surface level at best.
Yeah.
Just because the eyes on the cartoon characters
are squiggly.
look kind of like Rick and Morty drawn eyes with the bulging circles.
And a kind of raunchy Star Trek.
Yeah. But
I mean,
still,
a little bit. I think it keeps it under control.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
never too
yeah,
raunchy.
No. Anyway, they are doing a animated comedy series based on Golden Axe, the classic video game franchise.
Yeah, the Sega, like, low fantasy beat 'em up.
Yeah.
That no one
remembers
or really cares that much about.
I played the original, and I think I played the PlayStation 1, like, reboot.
I believe we played, Sam and I played through the entirety of it at 16-bit
yes,
once.
Yes, we did once. We did beat Golden Axe.
Because the ending is wild.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the monsters come out of the arcade, and all the monsters and players come out of the arcade machine.
Yeah.
And, like, it's really stupid.
Yeah, it's great, though. Yeah. But, Golden Axe. So you have, what, the
Axe Battler. Tyrus Flare, mm-hmm. and the...
The dwarf guy.
Gilius, King. Gilius Thunderhead.
That's it, yes.
Oh, yeah, the green dwarf guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will there be a scene where they have to kick a gnome around and pick up the potions that fall out of him?
I hope so.
I'm just imagining, like, just shaking him down.
Yeah.
With it being a comedy series? Absolutely it will. Yeah. It'll be just as hokey as the original game, and I cannot wait.
It kind of would be cool if they played it more serious, though, and did like a... Remember...
Kind of like a Castlevania?
Cognar of Barbaria. Or not Cognar. That's the thing I made one time. What was the Adult Swim pilot that was like a Conan...
Like
Zorn?
Horgoth or something like that?
Korgoth of Barbaria.
Oh, yeah, where he's constantly brutally beating up that wizard.
Yes.
And he has a gun.
No.
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 Somebody had a gun.
This was a this was like a Conan takeoff that was also like a little bit funny, but not like
overly. So yeah. It was very serious. Yeah, it was very brutal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, yeah, I remember.
But it was really cool.
Mm-hmm. But no, I could see them making some Conan the Barbarian jokes on this Golden Axe show.
Well, yeah, I feel like every low fantasy harkens back from Conan of Iberia.
Mm-hmm.
And those the Conan stories, like the, what's the author's name?
Robert E. Howard.
Robert E. Howard. I was right the first time.
Yeah, Robert E. Howard. Yeah.
Those original stories are really good. I've read some of them. They're
Oh, yeah, King Conan is great.
I'll tell you something that was really cool, because now that Conan is part of the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
He sat down and had dinner with Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
And their interaction is great.
For a short time, he was on the Savage Avengers, which was Dr. Doom and who was basically taking the Iron Man role. You had Conan, which was the Thor-esque character. Every character was like an analogous of
yes, but they're all like brutal killers who don't care.
Yeah, but
did they put they probably didn't have Red Sonja.
They did not have Red Sonja. They just had Conan, and it was pre King Conan.
Yeah,
like he was pulled out of time right before that. So all of the stories still count, but he was plucked out and then returned without knowledge of his time in the present. At that junction.
Also, which was really cool. I don't think they have the rights for Red Sonja, even though Red Sonja exists within the Conan universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's Dynamite now.
It is, yeah.
And Gail Simone wrote a lot of those.
She did.
That stuff's good, too.
Yep.
I remember buying those when those were coming out.
Gail Simone's such a great writer.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Hasbro has announced that they're going ahead and making a Baldur's Gate 4 without Larian Studios.
So it's going to fail.
Yeah. They've seen the success. They'll want to replicate it, but they will want to do it quickly, so it won't be good.
Right. Baldur's Gate 3, the super hyper popular Dungeons and Dragons
RPG
based RPG game
with no microtransactions, no DLCs.
Yeah. That's just a good game. That's just good, solid.
Like built from ground up, good game.
Mm hmm. Yeah. So Hasbro's going to do it without the studio that made it good. So it's going to be bad because it's Hasbro.
They'll turn and burn a garbage sequel.
Yeah.
Yep. And then it's going to be like New Coke, and they're going to go back to Coke Classic.
It'll be like the Dragon Age sequel.
Yes.
Which one? Dragon Age 2?
Dragon Age 2.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The one that they turned and burned, and it wasn't very good.
It wasn't very good.
The one where they tried to make Mass Effect with Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. But the good news is Larian has said that they're going to be working on original IP projects from now on, so they're not going to be beholden to another company telling them what exactly they can and can't do. And their next game is set in space.
I was just going to say, I hope it's a space one.
Yeah, it's a space one. So,
oh, awesome.
So imagine a slightly modified Baldur's Gate 3, but in space.
In space!
Oh, Hasbro's not going to have access to that engine either.
No, they're not.
That's Larian's stuff.
That's Larian's proprietary engine.
It's not going to be. It's going to be bad.
Yeah,
it's going to be. It's going to be like Gauntlet.
Well, Hasbro can go take a short jump off a tall cliff, as far as I'm concerned, because they ended Power Rangers, and they have quietly. This is not on the news, but they have quietly stopped talking about and canceled any future project. They said that they're going to be working on a splitting Power Rangers into two different things, a CW-esque for 20 our age adults,
classic Power Rangers,
and then continuing the original. And they have quietly let go of the directors and put an indefinite freeze on the projects, killing off an entire franchise genre.
I would be all about a Riverdale style Power Rangers show. That would be so good,
right? have the goofiness of, and still do costumes and dudes in suits and giant robots, but also the over the top melodrama.
Yeah, I have a speakeasy in the basement of the chocolate shop, and
yes,
like, Archie's got to fight. Cage fight my dad.
Rita Repulsa has created a monster out of this D&D game, and now we have to play this D&D game and monster in order to, but also love triangles, also, or love quadrangles.
Also, the pumpkin wrapper comes back.
Yeah, and
pumpkin wrapper's got
to
come back.
And the Blue Ranger is addicted to a drug called Skibbity.
Skibbity, yes. What was it? It was like joy juice or something like that.
It was worse than that.
It was like sparkle. Oh, Kringle.
It might have been Kringle.
It was something stupid like that.
Do you remember when half the Power Rangers went bad and they just put them in leather jackets and made them shirts?
Yeah. I wish they went as far as they did in the Japanese version, because by the end of that, they were Yakuza members. And they had Tommy guns.
It was Jingle Jangle.
Jingle Jangle! I knew it was some Christmas theme.
That was the terrible BS. Drug that...
Yeah.
going around Riverdale.
Yes.
It was like a pixie stick. You ripped the top.
Yeah, you ripped it and gripped it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I did pixie sticks anyway.
Hey, there you go.
Don't let the paper touch your tongue or else you can't get anything out.
Oh, no, then it gets stuck on the end and you can't. Then you have to...
You get no sugar.
Exactly. I would hate it, but I should watch the tail end of Riverdale when it got stupid.
Archie was drafted into World War II?
Well, there was that season where they got superpowers, where Archie was invulnerable and Betty could sense all of the evil you've done.
She's Diana Troy?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And Jughead went deaf but could hear others' thoughts. Because a meteor hit Riverdale. These are all things that happened on the show. And also, Cheryl Blossom was possessed by a ghost of 1800s Cheryl Blossom.
What?
Who had fire powers. She was a pyromancer.
You could have told me that was true for the entire series until you got to the fire powers part.
Oh, no, that's true. No, she was a pyrokinetic.
She was my favorite character on the show because she would always do whatever the most wild thing you could do at that time was.
Uh-huh.
Just the most buck wild choice you could ever make. That was the one she would do.
That was the one. Absolutely. Yes.
Cowabunga it is.
So yeah, we should probably go ahead and wrap up the show. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can follow our socials at Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, or support our Patreon at Nerd Overload Now.
You can also get it at links.nerdoverload.com. That is a new way to find everything. One spot, all of it's there.
Maybe we could just say that from now on.
Yeah.
Maybe you should write that on the board.
I will write that on the board for next week.
Send us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com, or you can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline. The number for that is 419-561-5556. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. Send us a text. We'll read it on the show. Text us a voice memo from your phone and we can play that on the show.
Anything. You can find all of our back episodes on different podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. We're on YouTube.
We're
back on YouTube and people have been finding it and it's great. Finally, I'd like to thank Parker for helping us out over at the Facebook page and David Pencil for the intro and outro. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
And if you've seen my trash can, it's a black Rubbermaid trash can. Please give me a call at 740-